First of all, I'm going to introduce everyone. I've got standing up here. First of all, I'm Dwayne Redmond. I'm the Graves County Sheriff. And up here standing with me, I have Rick Shanklin from the National Weather Service, who's been with us last night, yesterday afternoon, and again this morning, surveying the damage. I have Mayfield Mayor Teresa Cantrell here with us. I also have Mr. French, the Assistant Chief of Mayfield Fire Department, Shannon Keller, the Acting Chief of Mayfield Police Department, Sergeant Kyle Nall with Kentucky State Police, Jeremy Creason, the new fire chief. He got initiated really well, is the new fire chief and assistant emergency management director. Dave Anderson, the CEO of Jackson Purchase Medical Center, and Chad Lamb, the lead pastor at His House Ministries, and we'll explain what role that everybody's playing or going to play in this incident. I'm going to say a couple things first, just kind of off the cuff, that I'll get into you. I'll get into basically everything that happened yesterday. A lot of times, you know, we look at today as being, you know, a bad day for Grace County. But if you stand back and look, today is not really that bad of a day. There was a person very high and mighty here yesterday that saved a bunch of lives. If y'all would have been here yesterday and seen that storm tracking toward Central Elementary School and the Grace County Board Office and that school system out there, we knew that it was going to get hit. But I'm telling you right now, I don't go to church every Sunday and every Sunday night and every Wednesday. I'm not an over-religious person, and I'm not going to claim and stand up here to be. But there's only one reason why we didn't lose a bunch of kids' lives yesterday and a bunch of people's lives, and that was because of God. And no matter what anybody can say, God was with us yesterday. And he shifted that tornado right before it got to that school. I seen it, along with several other people and several other my employees and staff that was there. You know, we had 10 injuries. I don't think any were serious. Dave Anderson, we can get into you with that a little bit more. That were taken to Jackson Purchase Medical Center. We had no deaths. And I think some of the people that would tell you that a tornado of the magnitude of what we had yesterday, it's very uncommon that no one died yesterday during that tornado. Another group that needs, that always seems to not get mentioned and not get the thanks that they deserve in situations like this, is the Kentucky State Police dispatchers. If y'all knew what they had to go through yesterday with the number of phone calls that they received and trying to dispatch for probably 35 to 40 different emergency service agencies, and there was probably six or seven of them trying to do it all out there between the phones ringing continuously and keeping up with all of us on the radios. They were our lifeline, and they always are our lifeline. But a lot of times we forget about the dispatchers out there. And I'll put our dispatchers up to any in the state of Kentucky that we have at Post 1. So we're very fortunate that the expert job, and I can't say enough for the job that they done yesterday. So we'll kind of get in now into what transpired yesterday. We received the first 911 call, or the 911 first call came in to the 911 center or the Kentucky State Police Post at 1445 hours. That a tornado had touched the ground around 80 and Sullivan Road, which is about 5 miles west of Mayfield on Kentucky 80. That was the first reported sighting that was actually one on the ground. At that time, the sirens were initiated through the jail. Emergency services personnel were immediately dispatched to that area. And while en route, we could actually see the tornado on the ground and track that tornado. It came across, like I said, started around that area that I just told you about, came across and up through Jimtown Road, crossed Kentucky 121, crossed US 45, and then went on over and took a path almost into Marshall County. Is basically what we figured that stayed on the ground and where a lot of the damage was. Rick Shanklin can get into you more about how that storm took place or where exactly it went. On the onset of the storm, when the storm first hit, we were flooded with calls from different emergency service agencies from surrounding counties. Mayfield City Police, Mayfield Fire Department sent units out into the county to assist us in every way possible. Kentucky State Police brought more troopers in, more deputies were called out. We probably had more deputy sheriffs from McCracken County here than were in McCracken County. Paducah City Police came. We, like I said, had calls from police agencies and fire agencies all across West Kentucky offering their assistance. At that time, it got so big and so many volunteers that we set up our command post at the old General Tire parking lot. Devant Ramage, who is our emergency management director, took control of the situation once we set up the command center and done an outstanding job, in my opinion, on leading that storm and leading the rescue efforts and how he conducted himself. Like I said, we lost no lives, didn't have any major problems. With that, we do have a lot of destruction that stretches countywide. It's going to be just roughly somewhere in the millions of dollars is what's going to, what we feel like is going to, the damage is going to be. We won't have probably a true damage assessment to probably later on this week or the first part of next week. But if you, any of you that drove around, just what y'all have probably seen, not going down some of the back roads, have seen that some, there's been a lot of homes that's been completely destroyed. There's been a lot of businesses that's been completely destroyed. And so the damage is extensive and widespread. Yeah, and like I said, again, we're so lucky that we didn't lose any lives. As in always, anytime a time of tragedy or emergency event takes place, it's always, I can't say that I'm surprised, but it's amazing how the people come together. The churches come together, the general public comes together, all offering any kind of help or assistance that they can do. I think those of us that live in Grace County and Mayfield are very fortunate to have the people that we have here in a time of need that always rally around us and around the community and pulls the community together to make sure that everybody has the efforts that they need and the supplies that they need. You know, from churches to civic organizations, just to the general. We had high school kids out driving the roads last night just stopping people asking if they could help clean up their yards. That speaks very highly for them. And also for the Grace County, you know, I want to thank the Grace County school system. Like I said, looking at that tornado headed directly to their buildings, they took the exact immediate appropriate action and got those kids in a shelter or got them in a safe place. So, you know, they deserve a big thank you to the Grace County school system on the way that they conducted themselves yesterday. So from there, what we're going to be doing today, of course, we're having a lot of calls about people wanting to make donations. Any more from food. We said we weren't going to be to take any perishable foods, but we now have a refrigerated trailer that we're going to be to take perishable foods or any kind of supplies that anybody wants to donate, whether it be blankets, furniture that people may need, any kind of items. Those items are going to all be received at the Julian Care Exhibition Building at the fairgrounds. There'll be someone out there to take those items that you want to bring out there. There'll be some people out there to unload them for you if you can't unload them. So if you have any donations that you like that you want to carry out there, that's where those donations need to be taken to. We'll keep that open to somewhere around 7 o'clock tonight before we shut it down. Money donations. Chad Lamb came to us last night from His House Ministries and offered to kind of spearhead taking in the donations, monetary donations, for the tornado victims, and also to help us arrange. We're having a lot of church groups that we're starting to get calls about wanting to come in and offer their help. So Chad has agreed wholeheartedly to his church and staff out there to kind of lead that up. So if anyone has any cash donations that they want to make, I'm going to let him explain to you here in just a minute how that needs to work, who it needs to be made to, where it can be taken to or picked up or whatever. So I'll let Chad explain that to you here in a minute and all that. Like I said, we'll be conducting damage assessments throughout the week. Tonight, we're still asking people. Like I said, last night we had extra patrols out and extra security out last night with some people that was nosing around some of the, we had problems last night trying to get down some of the roads where property has been damaged because people were just driving by to look. I know it's interesting to some people to see that, but it hampers electric crew operations. It hampers our operations trying to get down those roads. So we're asking you not to do that. And especially do not attempt to go and take advantage of someone in the situation that they're in right now by going up in at their property and stealing things from them. If you, like I said, we're going to have extra police out all night tonight in different areas. And if you're caught, you're going to be arrested. There's nothing lower right now than the people that's in, going through what they've gone through for you to go up now and steal from them. So if you're cold enough to do that, we're going to be on putting you in jail for a while. And so that's what's going to happen there. Like I said, once again, I can't thank everyone enough that's pitched in and helped. The prayers that's gone out. And like I said, if you go to church this Sunday and you've got kids that went to those elementary schools and stuff, you better go on your knees and pray because God saved your kids. Any questions? In that entire campus, it was probably, I would say, over 1,000 students probably, because you've got the high school, the middle school, Central Elementary, all kind of jammed in one campus there. I mean,
2,400.
About 2,400. So you had about 2,400 that was in the direct path of that storm yesterday. Okay. Yes.
What is the name of the trailer where people can donate? We've had so many people say they want to grab something off. Where is that trailer at the fairgrounds?
It's not a trailer. It's basically the indoor soccer. It's called the Julian Kerr Exhibition Building. It's inside the fairgrounds, off 121 North. Right before you get to the Jackson Purchase Medical Center entrance, you have the fairground entrance. If you'll pull in there and go toward the back, that'll take you to where you need to be.
It's called
Julian Carroll Exhibition Center, Center or Building.
Julian Carroll, okay. Kind of going off of that, I mean, if people are interested in volunteering, where can they go to help?
Basically, that's what we're going to get with His House Ministries and the county judge's office, because they're going to know. That's where we're going to want people, and I'm going to let Chad explain how that's going to work here in just a minute. Like people that need assistance can call. We're wanting them to have one number that they can call into, and that way whenever we get, there's going to be a lot of resources coming in here tomorrow that wants to help. Some I think are coming in today to help clean up. That way we can have kind of a one-track stop of where that help needs to go and who's needing the help, and then when that help, once we have those people to send them there. I'll refer that to Dave Anderson, the CEO. Any other questions of me? Yes.
We had some people tell us they didn't hear the sirens yesterday. Were they all working?
As far as I know, they were working. This thing came up on us so suddenly to try to set the. We didn't know that there was even anything happening until we actually had a touchdown, and that's when the sirens were set off. You know, some people may have not have heard them because that tornado, of course, he was, you know, some of the deputies that were out in it, it's so loud, you may not have heard the tornado or the sirens for the actual sound of the tornado. And so as far as we know, those are tested regularly and are working, yes. But like I said, I don't know much good they would have done yesterday because, it, like I said, it just came out of nowhere. I mean, we weren't, you know, expecting anything like that yesterday. Any other questions of me? Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Chad Lamb. He's going to explain to you how the donation process needs to work and what numbers you can call. So I'll turn it over to him and let him do that.
Okay. There's a couple of ways for people to be able to donate. We set up an online service for people to donate through our online giving, His House Ministries. We've got it set up on several Facebook pages. I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll send that out to the news media. If you'll give me your contact afterwards, we'll make sure that our technology folks at church make sure they get that to everybody. The other way is you can send a donation by mail, and that address is 1250 State Route 303, Mayfield, Kentucky, 42066. It's set up as Mayfield Tornado Relief Fund, in care of His House Ministries. We're going to be working in conjunction with the sheriff's office and with our local governmental officials to make sure that those funds are accounted for. There's extreme accountability there, and also it's going to be dispersed properly. And we'll work with Judge Perry and Mayor Cantrell and the sheriff's office to make sure that's all handled properly. As far as the service, as far as people wanting to help out, we've been bombarded with people wanting to help large groups of individuals from different organizations from different parts of the country. And it's pretty overwhelming, and it's pretty awesome to see that. We're actually going to coordinate that through the church, so you can contact His House Ministries at 270-247-7772. And Pastor Tony Adams will be the point person for that. So you just ask for Pastor Tony, and he will coordinate all the people who are also calling in who are needing help. If they need whatever, debris picked up, if they need some kind of assistance or whatever. So if you're in need of help, call that number and ask to speak with Pastor Tony's office. And also, if you're an individual who's wanting to assist, then you also contact that same office with that same number. We were receiving items at the church and still are, as I just left a few minutes ago. We're going to transition all of those items over to the convention center, the expo center, I should say, at the fairgrounds. We want to streamline all of that. I know Red Cross is also set up over at the old General Tire plant. Are they still over there? Have they moved? Are they moving to okay. So there's some of the emergency responders and folks like that, they're being taken care of through Red Cross, being assisted there with food and things of that nature. Several people have called us asking if they could provide food. So that's basically it. I don't know if there's any other information I should share, but for any news organization that wants that link to the online giving, I'd be more than happy to give it to you.
Could you say until your first and last name?
Chad, C-H-A-D, Lamb, L-A-M-B. I'm the lead pastor of His House Ministries.
Thanks.
How many individuals?
Yeah.
That's too numerous to count. I mean, we've been overwhelmed. We've got a staff of four assistants right now that they can't answer the phones quick enough.
Sorry to go back to Sheriff. If we know the number of structures destroyed or damaged.
We don't know yet. I mean, we're, like I said, just in residents and structures together. I'll let you talk to the emergency management director to tell you, but we've got somewhere around, we know of at least 30 that's either been completely destroyed or severely damaged. So we feel like the damage is gonna go, you know, at a low estimate, probably somewhere around $3 million. Okay, I'll let the emergency management director, Devant Ramage, if you had any questions for him.
Good morning. I want to give a email address before we get started. I want to get this out for it's for the damage assessment. Anybody who's got dollar amounts of damages, or they can send that in. And it is gclepc@gmail.com. And that's for business damage report and any home damages report that anybody listening to this broadcast wants to send in to us. Related to that storm, and I'll take any of your questions now.
Could you repeat it one more time?
Yes, it's gclepc@gmail.com.
Thank you. For you, what's the next step from here on out?
Well, right now, we're going to start trying to help these folks put their lives back together. Today, we're out with the National Weather Service trying to do some damage assessments, get a track of the storm, see where it is. I received several calls from people, like even with the Veterans Administration, wanting to check on their people. We'll be providing some areas and addresses for them so they can come in and check on those people. But our main objective at this point is to see how much damage that we have and what we need to do to get it fixed and what we need to do to start getting the people affected, their lives back to as normal as we can. Yes, sir.
Will there be any appeals for some kind of state or federal aid?
Yes, there's thresholds that you have to meet to be able to, you know, get all that. I'm sure that we're gonna meet some of that, but we won't know those figures until we've had a chance to, you know, get out and really assess the damage. In fact, we have some gentlemen here today. Have my Area 1 director, Nathan Kent, from that's here to help me, and another man from Frankfort who's an expert in this that can get out and help us assess this damage and come up with our numbers. How much damage that we have here. Right now, a low figure would be, we feel very, very confident in saying $3 million, above $3 million. The damage will go into the millions as to how high. I really wouldn't want to put a figure on it right now. Anything else?
Okay, we're going to let Dave, have Dave Anderson, the CEO of Jackson Purchase Medical Center. Like I said, he'll tell you how they activated their hospital yesterday to the highest level and provided an outstanding service. And let me let him kind of explain how that all transpired yesterday.
Thank you, Sheriff. I'm David Anderson, Chief Executive Officer of Jackson Purchase Medical Center. We were wrapping up a ice cream thing that we were doing for Hospital Week this week, and people's phones started to go off, and we walked outside, and there immediately saw the tornado, heard the sirens. The first responders were already in action. We called our disaster plan into effect, and had tremendous response from our staff that were already in the hospital working, taking care of patients, as well as staff who were scheduled to work in the evening. We had many staff who came in early. We had 10 physicians that were not working in the emergency department but working in various areas of the hospital who all responded to the emergency department to offer assistance, which was very heartening. And at the moment that we activated, it was unclear just how many victims we could expect. And again, by the grace of God, we had very few victims. We treated 8 patients, received 8 patients. 4 of them were via Graves County, Mayfield Graves County EMS, and there was one I think brought in by law enforcement that was just able to get to the patient quickest at that point. There were a variety of injuries, mostly sprains and abrasions, and there was one patient who came in with a femur fracture. That patient was taken to surgery. We had one patient that had a concussion, and that patient went to critical care. Everyone is in, at least as the point that I left the hospital earlier today, or just a little bit ago, everyone was in stable condition or had already been discharged from either the emergency room or the hospital.
A total of 10 people.
We received 8. It was kind of a mix. I didn't bring specific ages. From what I recall, the patients who came in, there was one pediatric patient not injured. It was another issue. And at least one elderly patient, and the rest were of middle age.
Do you have, I'm sorry if you said this, I don't think you did, the locations of where the 8 patients, were they all in the same structure?
You know, I didn't get it exactly. Many of them were from the structures that were most affected in the early part of the tornado. And so that's all the information I have on that.
Okay. So you're saying one child was admitted, but they weren't?
Not injured, but it was some panic and some concern that may have caused another issue. That patient was discharged. I'm not 100% sure. I think at least one of the patients remains, probably 2.
Okay.
I'm sorry I didn't bring that with me.
Probably 2.
That are still in the hospital but in stable condition.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeremy, you got anything else, sir? No. Kyle? Shannon? I would like for the mayor and the judge executive to come up and say a few words about the outpouring that we've had from the community, and if they don't mind.
Thank you, and I'm Teresa Ruschetti Cantrell, the mayor of the city of Mayfield.
I'm Jesse Perry, the Graves County Judge Executive.
I know, yesterday when I was actually on my way out to the hospital for a second doctor's appointment, Walked out the door, one of my employees came around the corner and just pointing behind me, and that's when I turned around and saw the tornado. And we got all of our staff and got them into the basement, and then coming up out of the basement area, I went into my office, and just that's when the calls just started to come in. I mean, immediately people were so fortunate to live in a community, in a county like we do, a state like we do, in a country like we do, to have had calls from all over, literally, yesterday, people offering assistance in any way, shape, or form. A lot of our elected officials had contacted us. Some of them actually came to City Hall. I was there till about 10 o'clock last night, and my husband drove me around to some of the worst affected areas, and it was just heartbreaking and devastating to see that. But on the other hand, we are so fortunate and so blessed. I kept thinking the next phone call was going to be, you know, one of my guys telling me this is what's come, you know, now, and expecting the worst. To have so few injured and no deaths is just, I think, a miracle, and we are so, so thankful to God for protecting us in that.
I just want to reiterate that we're blessed, and you're exactly right. God was with us as he always is. And we've got a lot of damage out there. It's bricks and mortar. We can replace those things. And we're going to do all we can to be on the ground with these folks and get them back up and going. And as you say, we was there last night, yesterday afternoon, and we will be there to the end.
As mayor, are you pleased with how everything turned out as far as the responses or anything that maybe you can learn from this as far as what you can possibly do?
As definitely, as far as the city's concerned, we're very, very happy with the way people worked together. Now, we opened up our council chambers and had all the DES people in there throughout the afternoon and through the evening last night. And I just wanted to be there to provide them with, you know, technology, you know, phones, whatever they needed to do to get their job done and to get some assistance to those people.
As a mayor, what's it like to turn around and see a tornado every now and then?
Well, I'll tell you, it was very, very, very scary. You just first stop and you, am I really seeing this? Am I actually seeing this? And you could tell it was doing something. And to me, of course, it looked like it was headed straight for City Hall. And by the time that I could get my thoughts together and get everybody downstairs, I first thought of, you know, who else was out there that I could, you know, make known. I have an invalid father-in-law, and I was most concerned about him and getting him at least to the middle of his house. But I was helpless. I couldn't do anything. But it was just, you know, once in a lifetime, I hope, experience that I'll never forget.
Any other questions?
I don't know. I think that, don't know exactly how many were displaced. I know that there were some families that stayed out at Wingfield Inn. Chad, did y'all help some families last night at Wingfield?
I believe there's probably about 9 or 10 families that were displaced.
Okay.
That
okay.
We've seen so far.
Okay. Well, last but certainly not least, the weather guru, we're going to let Rick Shanklin get up here and I'm sure he's one that's going to have the most interesting questions that some of you may ask and kind of try to explain how the storm developed and the track it took. And so, Rick.
Thank you, Sheriff. First off, I'd just like to say our sympathies to those that have suffered loss here in Graves County and in other counties, frankly, around Western Kentucky from this event. I also wanted to say, have with me doing the survey, Deanna Lindstrom from our office and Brittany Peterson, and I appreciate all their help. Our objective when we do a survey is really kind of twofold. First is to survey the damage and determine the particulars from a scientific standpoint, what occurred. Of course, we know in this case, obviously it was a tornado, but the specifics of the tornado, the intensity, how wide was it, how long the track was, all that is important. It helps for future warnings, among other things. The more we can learn about each event, the better we're going to do for future events. But as the sheriff said, we began doing the surveying yesterday. We surveyed out in the west of here. The path began, as has been said, west of Mayfield, out on Lewis Road in that vicinity. We have surveyed from there to Highway 45 north of town here, and we're going to continue this afternoon, late this morning, this afternoon, across eastern Graves County and then into Marshall County. What we have determined thus far, we have about a 7-mile track that we have surveyed all that. We know the track very likely is continual into at least southwestern Marshall County, which would mean at least a 15-mile track of damage from the tornado. We have taken a couple measurements of the width of the tornado vortex itself, and it's close to 400 yards. We took one measurement, 380 yards, Highway 121 northwest of town here. That is really a wide tornado, and usually when you have a tornado that is that massive, it's also very strong, and that was the case, unfortunately, here in Graves County. Based on the damage that we have seen thus far, we think the tornado peaked at the low end of the EF3 scale. 140 mile an hour peak winds is what we're looking at. Based on the damage that we've seen, we've had cars that have been lofted at Bennett Motors and elsewhere. Obviously some buildings that have been destroyed, mobile homes. There's one in particular that has the undercarriage wrapped around a tree, just the east side of Highway 45 there. So there's several things that suggest at least EF2 damage into low-end EF3. And I stress that we won't make the final determination on that until we complete the entire damage path, because wherever the peak intensity in the damage path, that is the official rating for the entire tornado. So it will not be until at least the end of today until we have the final determination on that. But again, I can say that based on what we've seen thus far, we're going to say a peak in the EF3 range at 140 mile an hour winds. I mentioned earlier there's really a twofold objective to what we do. The other is to determine when we're talking to people, and we talked to several folks in the community yesterday, did they heed the warning, for example? Did they get the warning? Did they take shelter? You know, we want to know about that and see if there's any way we can improve response. And from this kind of damage, the last tornado we had this intense was November 17, 2013. That was the Brookport tornado, Brookport, Illinois. Unfortunately, 3 fatalities there. No fatalities with this tornado. So there were some things that were done correctly. In some cases, I think we've heard where maybe people waited too late, which is a very common thing. In taking shelter, maybe waiting until they see the tornado, for example. So there's some things that we can learn and do from that. But again, we will continue this afternoon in East Graves County and then work into Marshall County as we go through the rest of the day.
So far, I believe there's only one touchdown.
Yes, from this. There was some question about the beginning of the path, and we may go back and take another look. We did have somebody that took a video, and we're not sure if that video lines up with this tornado track, if maybe it wasn't a little bit north of there. So we may have to take another look at that. But definitely as a whole, one tornado track is what we're seeing.
Earlier when you talked, you said EF2, and just a minute ago I thought I said heard 3.
Yes, that is correct, EF3, peak intensity. But I want to stress that, you know, a tornado is rated by its peak intensity. Most of the damage is in the EF1, EF2 range, which is typical when you have an EF3 tornado.
Okay.
Can you once again reiterate kind of what led you to that rating?
Yeah, we had several vehicles. I think Bennett Motors alone, there were 40 vehicles that were damaged there. Some of those were lofted. You may have even noticed some of them are sitting on top of other vehicles, for example. Some have been flipped over and so forth. There was one west of town that was lofted and carried at least 150, 175 yards, a sizable vehicle. So those things, again, there were some buildings that were destroyed, completely destroyed, that also came into mobile homes that were completely demolished and carried some distance from where they were located by the tornado. So those things collectively really is what went into making that determination.
In your expertise, I mean, how bad was this tornado just far
away? Well, this is the worst tornado, again, we've had in our region that our office covers, which is parts of Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky, since November 2013. And it's been, frankly, a little bit of a relatively quiet period. And, you know, our hope is this is maybe a little bit of a wake-up call to our region as a whole that, you know, we've been lulled into perhaps a little bit of a sense of, you know, it's not been that bad lately, but hopefully this will make people realize the need to prepare, and most importantly, when a warning is issued, to take action, to take shelter.
Can you go through the process of your office issuing
the
warning?
I wasn't actually in the office yesterday at the time of this, so I can't give the particulars on that. I know we had the reports, and I know that the radar indication at least eventually was a very tight velocity couplet, very strong signatures, in other words, of a tornado, and the tornado warning was issued as a result of those things. Sometimes we call it like the quad state region since we cover parts of four states.
Quad states.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Like I said, we appreciate everybody's cooperation. Like I said, it's still going to be a tough few days of going. Just ask everybody to remain calm. We'll get to you. Get your assessments done as quickly as possible. The emergency badge director is giving the instructions on what to call, or what number to call and all. If you have damage, so that we can get that, we'll try to get to see if we meet the threshold to get some federal aid in to go that route. Like I said, I just do want to stress again, especially at night, to stay out of these areas. Don't try to take advantage of anyone property to take anything from them. Like I said, us, along with the state police, city police, and we've even got some deputies from down in Henry County, Tennessee, that's going to come up tonight and help us. So there's going to be a strong police presence for the next few nights, all night long throughout the county, watching these areas. So we just ask you to be respectful and abide by the law. Anything else? Thank you all so much.